everybody. Nice to see so many people here in view of the Momentum meeting. You've come to the right meeting. Today we've got Michael Bradley, who's one of the national organisers for the SWP, and he's going to talk about, after Corbyn's victory, where now for the Labour Party. So you're going to talk for about, and then we're going to open up the meeting to contributions and questions. So welcome, Michael.
Cool. To start with, I think you have to say that Jeremy Corbyn's victory is a massive achievement, right, about it. He got 62% of the vote, and you're talking about winning a vote against the whole of the Labour right, obviously, but also against most of the media in this country, and also against most of the political establishment, right, and stuff, who actually slandered him in the most nasty, horrible way during the whole campaign. And when you think that the what's, you know, described as the coup against Corbyn was put into place because he was unelectable, there's another obvious fact that's happened up and down the country during the campaign, is he's spoken to tens of thousands of people, probably hundreds of thousands of people. And the thing that always sums up to me about it is Ramsgate, because I used to go on my holidays to Fanny when I was a kid. So a place called Broadstairs next to it, Ramsgate's supposed to be UKIP country. Mm. And 3,000 people turned out to see Corbyn in the streets. And that's interesting, by the way, when you think about a couple of things. Really, one is that, you know, the idea of socialism has supposedly been very unpopular. Actually, even for lots of people who've been active in the movement over the last period of time and stuff, socialism wasn't a word that people used very much. The other thing of ideas, political parties, were saying that people distrusted and the rest of it. When 3,000 people come out to listen to someone talk about socialism and about joining a political party and getting involved, it's really an exciting thing, it seems to me. And actually, Labour itself now and stuff, it's not rhetoric to say it's probably the biggest left party in the whole of Europe and stuff now over it and stuff. So, you know, 600,000 members and supporters and the rest of it. Corbyn's speech yesterday is exciting in many ways, stuff about it. When you start out by saying we are talking about a socialism for the 21st century, right, stuff about it, when the main attack on the speech is against inequality and poverty in Britain, right, stuff over it. For years, when we were told the people we should look up to by the Labour Party were bankers, remember, and stuff, they're the people, the wealth creators and all the rest of it and stuff, you get somebody actually talking about the fact that our people, working class people, suffer and we don't get what we deserve in society. And actually, in some ways, the most important bit was what he said about migrants. He's actually stood up under lots of pressure, because the stuff goes out in the speeches beforehand and stuff, and said, first of all, the obvious thing, that, you know, how do our hospitals work without migrants, etc., etc., but also a very important thing, refused to put a limit on immigration. Said, I'm not putting a number about it and stuff. And you imagine the complete, you know, the sort of levels of this stuff. And we remember this stuff, they actually won, remember the Labour mug? Immigration mug and stuff that Ed Miliband put about. So this is really, really important stuff in lots of ways. And I think in lots of ways, what this is a victory for everybody. It's not, doesn't matter whether you're in the Labour Party, outside the Labour Party, if you're progressive, if you want to see a more fair society and stuff, actually that's what that contest was about. It wasn't about an individual, right, stuff about anyone. And that's a really important thing. One thing to say about that, and actually Corbyn pointed this out in his speech as well and stuff over it, this is part of an international phenomenon as well. Right, so because we've been through now austerity since, what, 2008. And actually what's clear is in country after country, the mainstream political parties have not been able to have an answer other than austerity. And so internationally, people are looking for an alternative. Now, this can come out in a bad way. Right, it comes out in a bad way in France, for example, where it looks like the Front National can win the first round of the presidential election. Or, horror of horrors, the idea of Donald Trump becoming president and stuff, actually. In the same way, it comes out when you see the crowds going up for Bernie Sanders in the United States, or when you see people who voted, we'll talk about it later and stuff, but, you know, who voted for Syriza or Podemos in Spain and the rest of it. And actually, the thing about Britain that's a bit strange, really, is this, the way it's that kind of mood has formed in Britain has been in some ways around UKIP at various stages and stuff, with one lad, people on the bad side, but now it's formed itself around the Labour Party. And you know, to be honest with you, if anybody had said, you know, 2 years ago that the radicalised element inside British society would start to look towards Labour with what all it was doing and stuff, you know, I don't think, you know, certainly Jeremy Corbyn did see that coming and stuff about it. That's the important thing. Just saying, other asides from the thing, you know, the thing about John McDonnell making an announcement about £10 an hour is not a small thing. I mean, it's interesting. I went with about, I don't know how long ago it was now, 4 years ago, with a bloke called Ian Hodgson, who's the president of the Bakers Union. And we went and met John McDonnell in a cafe up in Hayes, where his constituency was. And we sat down and he said to us, we want to organise a campaign to start talking about about £10 an hour and the idea of organising workers in the fast food industry and the rest of it. And actually, at the time, he was some lefty MP who nobody talked to. Well, I said about it. Actually, you know, to get the shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer getting up, for whatever arguments I've got about other elements of what he may have said, and said we're going to introduce £10 an hour. It's an enormous thing. And actually, it's the sort of thing where you can see whether they're electable or not. If you can go onto housing estates and start talking about the fact we're going to build 500,000 council houses, if you can go to young workers and say, you know, we're just talking about Sports Direct, and say, actually, if you join a union and you get involved, you can end up with £10 an hour, not £7.40, right, stuff around it. These are really, really important things to say. And the last thing and stuff, which is also really useful, is one of the things he said, which is brilliant, was that on Saturday people should get out and campaign over inclusive education. Now, in some ways, I kind of wish he'd said go to Birmingham on Sunday. He didn't say that. What's it's going to happen is there'll be Labour Party stalls around the country. But it's good that he didn't just talk about the internal struggle. He did say, "Look, come on, guys, get out and do something." And that opens some stuff up. If that was all of the story, we could all bugger our phone now, really, and stuff over, and everything will be wonderful. But actually, the conference itself exposes lots of the other side of the argument, because it's not true that the right inside the Labour Party said, "Oh well, we've lost the vote, sorry everyone, let's bury the hatchet," and the rest of it. They've done the exact opposite. Rachel Reeves' speech on immigration is a disgrace. Right, it's an absolute disgrace. It's the exact same language that Enoch Powell used, and so about it. That's a direct hit back. Right, stuff of what Corbyn's been talking about immigration and the rest of it. Tom Watson gets up and does his speech and thanks and, you know, encouraging remarks about everybody's been elected except Jeremy Corbyn. He gets echoed for it because it's a deliberate statement and stuff. He don't mention him. I don't know if people saw that thing and stuff in Socialist Work about it and stuff. The car park meeting, all the geezers who used to be in suits in the conference, right, stuff about it, right, stuff and sitting in lauding it, are out in the car park saying they're going to stand and fight and the rest of it. Someone's quoting from the film Zulu about how we're going to stand and fight and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, these people are not going away. And you see what's happening with the NEC of the Labour Party. They're trying to stitch it up. And so that now Scotland and Wales get these appointed delegates. It's all about whether what the balance is and how things will go. And actually, you know, it's not true that Owen Smith and other people are saying, "I'm sorry I lost, I want to get back into the shadow cabinet meeting and stuff." Actually, interestingly enough, John McDonnell and people aren't jumping to get them in straight away and stuff over it. They're talking about this democracy meeting and stuff, aren't they? But it's not the case the Labour right is saying what we're going to do is immediately jump in and stuff, really. What's the response about that? In some ways, it's a genuine response, isn't it, with stuff? Because actually, if you look at all the stuff that Corbyn's saying and stuff, you know, we need to end trench warfare now. You know, he had a photograph, didn't he, taken of himself on his balcony with an olive tree that he's been growing and all that sort of thing. And the idea, really, that we need to stop all this fighting, right, stop all this infighting, and let's take the fight to the Tories. And actually, that's a good sentiment, isn't it, right, stuff? Actually, if you think about the last year, I mean, it's all forgotten now and stuff, but actually, after when Corbyn did have some time to try and start putting his ideas across, Labour were ahead in some polls and stuff over it. You wouldn't believe that now, and stuff, they keep denying it ever happened and stuff, but this whole period of time has been wasting. But I think the thing of it is there's a massive temptation, and more than a temptation, a massive pressure now to try to say we're going to bury the hatchet. And why? Because Labour is an electoral machine. Jeremy Corbyn talked about that. We're after winning power at a local and national level, and everybody knows that you cannot win votes on a massive scale if you are split, right, so far, but therefore you need unity. But the problem is, whose terms are you going to get unity on? And then you get Clive Lewis's speech at the conference, which is a speech in praise of Trident, right, stuff around it. We're not going to come back here and say in a few months' time that we're going to get rid of Trident. It's done there. And also, really, a speech in praise of NATO. And actually, everybody knows that Jeremy Corbyn is a very, very principled unilateralist. Right, stuff. He's somebody who's the key Labour campaigner and stuff against the war in Iraq and the rest of it. But effectively, what you've got is the beginnings of all sorts of deals going on, and one of which seems to be, right, stuff. And by the way, it's also a deal with Unite and the GMB, who organise workers in Barrow and other places, right, stuff about it, that we can say quite radical things about the economy And we're going to say radical things about the economy, but we're not going to say anything really about our foreign policy at that level and stuff about it. And actually, you know, Trident Renewal and the rest of it, we all know these arguments. I've listened to Jeremy Corbyn since I was a kid, saying if we didn't, you know, redo Polaris or whatever it was at the time, and then Trident and the rest of it and stuff, we could pay for this many hospitals, this many schools, etc., etc. Well, at the minute, the Labour Party's committed to doing that. And the real fundamental problem here, isn't it, really, is that those 172 MPs have not changed their mind. Some of them might come back to the fold. Some of them might. It's interesting. I know, you know, Owen Jones is somebody who was has been a darling of the British left at one stage and then blotted his copybook, didn't he, during the campaign. He's clearly, you know, deciding now that things have changed. Maybe he's been offered a job, Owen, or something like that, stuff about it. But, you know, but it's clear at this stage that those MPs are not shifting around it. And also the machine inside the Labour Party, the full-time machine inside the party that makes things happen, that is not in the hands of the left and stuff over. And it seems to me, really, that what we'd argue, right, stuff about it is you know, because you've won a victory, is not the time when you say we want to ease up and bury the hatchet. Actually, really, what you should be doing is going for some of these people now. You should be pushing them, right, stuff, for saying you've done a sin, you've gone against democracy all this stage. I'm bloody elected now, right, stuff. You have to put up or shut up. That should be the argument, in my opinion. Not because, but you know, I think, you know, we're a particularly vicious grouping of people, but it's just obvious inside it that they are just going to use the period now. And you read people like David Blunkett, what they're writing in the papers and the rest of it, and they're quite simply, they're all just waiting for the next go. The next time there's a mess up, the next time there's a by-election that goes the wrong way, right, stuff, anything and stuff about it, and they're not going to act as a disciplined group in Parliament either. They're not going to back up Labour Party policy. And it seems to me the whole argument, it goes really, it's an historical argument with Labour, that unity always means the left shutting up and the right being able to dominate and stuff about it. Unless that's broken, right, stuff, it seems to me that, that Corbyn and John McDonnell, for all the good things they're saying, end up with big problems. The other danger, really, is you can have hundreds of thousands of people who are excited, who go to the meetings, people who went to the Momentum event in Liverpool at the Labour Party conference, which is a really exciting and open political event, right, stuff, and the rest of it. What they can do, really, is they can get dragged in and burnt off during a nasty civil war. And actually, you know, I've seen this, you know, some of the people in the room and stuff over it before in the Labour Party in the 1980s. There was a whole process of trying to fight your bit, get someone thrown out of your CLP, get this councillor deselected, get this person out and the rest of it. And actually, what I think what the right are betting on is they can outdo that way. It's interesting, there was a couple in Haringey, I was talking to some of the Momentum people up there, got a really good relationship with them there, and they said there's a plan over the next couple of years, it's not a secret plan, to try and Hackney and Haringey to get the left to take over. Right, stuff over. That's a good idea, but actually, you think about the councillors are, by the nature of it, Blairites who've been there for 20 years or so, right, stuff over it, right? The idea that that is going to be a bloody, bloody fight in order to do that. And I think they're really thinking that they're going to be able to burn off a lot of people, and they can outlast Corbyn. Even if today he's won a victory, then what, let's see what happens in 3 months' time or 6 months' time. The other thing I think that's worth saying is why, I mean, obviously the election's been really, really important, the result of it, don't get me wrong, at any level, right, but why is it even more important to people at the minute, it seems to me, is because outside of Parliament, the level of struggle, the alternative ways of hitting the Tories seem to be very limited. I mean, on the same day Corbyn won, which is brilliant news, there you get your little text in your phone from The Guardian, Jeremy Corbyn wins, and well, I don't know what it was, an hour later or 2 hours later, you get a little text through your phone saying the junior doctors have packed it in. Right, stuff over. And actually, that would have been an amazing thing, really, if the junior doctors had been on strike, because you could have argued, come on now, people in Momentum, let's get out on the streets, back the junior doctors and the rest of it. Why did they lose, by the way? Well, why have they given in? Well, I think, you know the top people in the doctors' profession had a go at them and the rest of it. The real truth is, it's because the trade union movement didn't do anything. It's not individuals on the ground. It's not even the fact that trade union leaders didn't make good statements about the BMA. Nobody did anything for them. Right, the truth it was, the only people who struck alongside them at one stage were the teachers, and the teachers' union have just pulled back from strike action. And so it's not really surprising that at that stage, when they're talking about 5 day strike, new activists under massive pressure from the press and everything else and stuff over it, right, that they pulled back. Now actually, Corbyn and McDonnell were on their demonstration in London the last time round. That's brilliant, but some of this sympathy wasn't enough. Right, they needed some solidarity, they needed other people to start fighting at the same time about it. And I think that's one of the things here, which is a danger, that everything becomes more and more pumped into an internal struggle. There's a good example. Matt Rack's the leader of the Fire Brigade Union, right? Matt Rack's been, I think, really good over the last period of time. Over the trade union bill, by the way, and stuff, he was one of the best people, not because he was calling his members out on general strike, because he didn't do that, right? But he actually tried to argue through what was going on. We had to try to do something about it and the rest of it. And actually, the Fire Brigade Union have just won a victory in Manchester, where they tried to smash the union effectively by mass redundancies and stuff over it, and they've beaten it off. But what's Matt's response to the next situation? His response is, we need a million people inside the Labour Party. And that's not a beyond the power idea, by the way. Maybe they could get a million people inside the Labour Party. But the idea that if you're a firefighter and the rest of it, that the only method of struggle, the only method of taking on the Tories is going to join the Labour Party, at the minute, leaves a real problem, right, stuff over it. Because the truth is, really, I mean, there's an old argument about this, right? What we've got at the minute is a very low level of struggle, but a very high level of politics going in society, right? This ain't going to go on forever. At some point, either the struggle on the ground and in the communities and in the workplace is going to rise to meet what's going on politically, or it will drag down what's happening inside the Labour Party with it and stuff. And we know this because back in the 80s and stuff, when you had Tony Benn and hundreds of thousands of people joining the Labour Party and the rest of it, because workers were being defeated in the workplaces, the confidence that boosted the left started to ebb away, and it made it easier for them to take out. And in the end, it was a minor strike and the rest of it, and the left hold inside the Labour Party was broken and stuff about it. So that's why we keep going on, not because we're grunt struggle, we don't understand politics, but unless what Corbyn's movement does is relate to the idea of developing struggle, right, stuff over it, actually in the end, in electoral terms, even in their own terms, right, people vote Labour when they feel confident. When they feel crap, they don't. And at worst, right, stuff, we can see where this can go if there isn't a struggle inside the workplace, in the communities. Because we know at the last election, what was one of the big stories? The big story was that UKIP got 4 million votes. Now, UKIP at the minute are in a mess, right? We know that they're in a mess, right? But we know also that since the Brexit vote, right, stuff around it, there's been a big spike in hate crime. Now, it's interesting over the Brexit vote at the minute, because actually people are waking up a little bit to what happened. First of all, the argument was every working class person was a racist. That was the argument. Everybody was panicking about this. And was, really, most people are now talking about this. Actually, Corbyn talked about it, really. Some people have got racist ideas. The bulk of people who voted Brexit were doing two fingers to the establishment. Because if you thought you had a stake in the system, right, and stuff, you voted to stay because you've got something to hold on to. If you're in South Wales after they destroyed the steel industry and somebody says to you, well, vote to stay in the EU because you'll make your life better, I'm sorry, I just lost my fucking job. And under that basis, right, anything's got to be better. Anything's got to be better. And that's what people voted for and stuff. But we do know that the basis for racist ideas in that situation to develop, if there's a low level of struggle, you can't really see a way through. If we're told just simply to wait till 2020 to do something about things and stuff, you can see how those ideas can get a grip. And there's a real debate inside the Labour movement about it. Like I said, the Labour MP made the speech is horrific, right? But you've got to remember that Len McCluskey, who actually made a very good statement to the TUC conference about refugees and the rest of it, was one of the people who was arguing a few weeks back that we had to look again at the issue of free movement of labour, right, stuff, that maybe we have to make concessions and the rest of it. And the truth is, if you do make concessions over this, Diane Abbott said a really good thing, right, stuff, you make concessions over that issue, then you're dead. Because in the end, the argument isn't stuff about it, that anybody sitting next to me is the problem, right, stuff about it, and it infects the movement. If you really want to see that, where that goes to, look at France a few weeks ago, when the CGT involving Dockers, a militant group of workers, not just a pretend militant group of workers, but workers who just taken action against the anti-labour laws, right, or a demonstration that's trying to effectively blockade and smash up the refugee camp and stuff about it, and whatever, because they can't, because they don't see these people as their allies no more. Actually, in this country at the minute, we're better than that politically, I think, and stuff inside the movement. But the danger that people become demoralised and start blaming each other is there. That's why, by the way, and stuff, I mean, I know you're going to talk about it on the agenda, but that's why within this process, trying to work alongside the Corbyn people, Corbyn supporters and stuff around it, in a big way about developing anti-racist movement is so important. One of the good things about Jeremy Corbyn is he's principled on the issue. First thing he did when he was elected leader, if people remember, he walked onto a demonstration in support of refugees. He didn't have to say that stuff the other day about no limits on immigration. He could have tried to get around it. He said it, right, stuff like that. He's speaking at the Stand Up To Racism conference. That's a really important thing inside the working class, because it means we can go back now, not just as the hard left inside the workplaces, but we now have the Labour leader saying migrants are your allies, they're not the thing, they're not the problem, it's the bosses that are the problem, the rest of it. And we have to try to work with that process in order to develop a movement. The big question though, stuff I think now for millions of people, is where does all this go to once it's over? And the exciting thing, I think the really exciting thing about it, is for the first time in really in a generation, there are literally millions of working class people talking about the fact there is an alternative to the system. Right, it's about what we think socialism is or not, one way or the other, maybe different things, right, about it. But, you know, there are young workers and students joining an organisation that's avowedly calling itself socialist. And they want to talk about parties and being politically organised and this kind of stuff over it. This is a real, real massive thing, right, stuff over it. But we do think, and that we have to raise some political questions within this. It's important to say, though, the only way you get the right to talk to the bulk of people who've joined the Labour Party at the moment, right, so, and then raise political questions, if you're working with them. If what the revolutionary left does now is sit in small rooms and talk about the Paris Commune, right, if you forgive the phrase, right, we're finished, right, so about absolutely finished, right, or we fold our arms and say, well, actually, you just wait till Corbyn fucks up, then you can whatever about, you know, this is just, you know, it may make you feel warm in a small room. It's not the way the world works. We have to be 100% alongside the Labour Party members. These are our comrades. Right, stuff against the right inside the Labour Party, for £10 an hour, for working with them and the rest of it. But it's also, you know, why aren't we in the Labour Party then? Because we think there's a problem and we have to talk about the problem. And it goes when you go to Jeremy Corbyn's speech, he says two things. We're a national party and we want to take political power at a local level and we want to take power at a national level. Well, the local level first thing. On Sunday, there's going to be a meeting in Birmingham. It's like a kind of counter conference that People's Assembly are organising to the Tory Party conference. It'll be really good. It's got different sessions all day, and one of them is councillors against austerity, and that's great. We're all glad that councillors are against austerity, and the leader of Birmingham City Council is going to be on the platform. That would be brilliant, right? There's a little problem with that though. They are smashing up the unions inside Birmingham. In Bristol, it was brilliant that the mayor was elected, a black Labour mayor elected in Bristol. That's great. The problem is the council is in a bit of fight with Unite at the moment, stuff inside the councils and the rest of it. Now, you can say, okay, you're very critical about that over it, but it's not our fault, right, stuff, because money comes from up top. Now, we can say, look, come on, why couldn't, even if we disagree with the level of the cuts, couldn't we march together to Downing Street to try and demand more money and the rest of it? But there is a kind of let out clause, if you know what I mean here. You can say the problem is the Tories, that's why we need a Jeremy Corbyn government. And then it'll all change. So you can now get councillors sitting there with vote Corbyn badges making a cut. It's a contradiction. Sometimes you'll work with these people, sometimes you've got to fight them. The biggest question though then comes about the national state. Right, stuff about it, because you don't need to read books about the 19th century or anything to find out a simple thing, that at the minute when radical left governments are elected, right, stuff, they come under the most incredible pressure. Well, we know that because we look at Greece. Right, the Syriza government in Greece was not elected because it was a bunch of sellouts who wanted desperately to smash up working class people. That's not why they were there. They wanted to oppose austerity, they wanted to fight, and for a whole period of time, people remember, you couldn't open up a publication that was set to the left, right, without people being absolutely excited about Syriza. In lots of ways, in the same way people are excited about Jeremy Corbyn and stuff, because it seemed that at last somebody was going to stand up. They were smashed by the EU, by the IMF, by the European Central Bank and the rest of it. Why? Because when it came down to it and stuff over it, because you are elected, it doesn't mean you're in power. Right, and stuff over it. The real power is the unelected section of society. We'd argue that the real power on our side is the people at the bottom. Right, and stuff around it. And any Corbyn government would face massive problems. Even in the most extreme sense, it's only a few months ago now, but this country, we're a stable democracy, etc., etc., about it. People remember that you had a general from the British Army, right, and stuff, giving unnamed interviews saying if they get us out of NATO, we ain't putting up with it. The army's not putting up with it and stuff over it, right? That's not, you know, and you know, I suppose the biggest example over all this stuff really is, who is Jeremy Corbyn's personal hero? It's Salvador Allende. Allende was a person who led the Chilean government in the early 1970s, died with a rifle in his hand, right, being bombed in a presidential palace in Chile, right, because his government had the temerity to try to cyber working people, right, and stuff in different stages, and a stable democracy inside Chile. The army finally moved because profits were under threat. That's important to say, but I want to reiterate the point, though, really about it, that to have that discussion with people right stuff is not to say that this whole process is simple inevitabilities, because what happened in Chile or what happened in Syria, in Greece, doesn't mean that a Corbyn government or a John McDonnell government would act exactly the same. They simply ever, they might do whatever about it, but the pressures, the massive pressures, right, exist. So we've got to say two things, I suppose. Firstly, that the real point, where is Corbyn powerful? Corbyn is not powerful in Parliament. That's his weakest point. Actually, his weakest point is not actually just in Parliament, it's in the Labour Party meetings in Parliament. That's his worst time, when he's with his own people, right? So bad. When's he strongest? He's strongest and stuff in a position when he's in bloody Ramsgate. Mm-hmm. Or when I was a few months ago and stuff, over here, there was a strike in Barnet, 6 o'clock in the morning, on a picket line outside a dust depot. You turn around and there's a shadow chancellor of the Exchequer standing next to you and stuff over it, right? That's where they're strongest. So our argument is with them, even in their own terms, you are stronger if you relate to the base, if you don't give ground, right, stuff over it. Because when they do give ground, it demoralises their own people. How confusing is it in a million years for anybody who's been involved in a peace movement or the anti-war movement to listen to Jeremy making that speech, not talking about Trident, and then the next bloody speech that comes up says the Labour Party are now going to do it. It starts to confuse people and stuff who are enthusiastic and the rest of it. The last thing that's said about that, though, is, well, it is patronising or to the people who are getting involved in politics in this way, not to talk the bigger issues through. Because either what you're really saying is, oh, it's all marvellous, in which case, if it's just all marvellous, everybody here should be in the Labour Party now, right, it's the favourite, right? Or, like I said, you don't want to rant at people, but you do want to talk through the issues, because actually these are very, very political people. I mean, it's quite interesting around Momentum. It's good you've got a Momentum tonight and stuff. In some towns, people can't find one. We've been finding, I was talking to some comrades in Kent the other week and stuff, in Medway, right, and stuff of all town, Rochester. They go to their meeting, it's the middle of the summer, there's, everybody's away, blah, blah, blah. Four of them turn up to the cafe, oh, should we have the meeting? I don't know. These five school kids walk in, right, and stuff. They've joined Momentum, but they can't find Momentum. So they spend that every week going in, talking to the SWP about where they want to go. But they want to talk about big ideas. They want to talk about racism, they want to talk about the state. What do you mean when you say you don't want borders? What does that mean? So in other words, I think there's a really massive opportunity here, right, for people at every level. One is, when we talk about united front work, we used to talk about the SWP and the revolutionary left working with a part of the Labour Party, with a small part of the Labour Party. That's what the Stop the War Coalition mobilised 2 million people. But that was fundamentally the basis, the left of the trade union leadership, the left of the Labour Party, and the revolutionary left. Now you're talking about the possibility of working with half or 45%, 50%, 70% of the Labour Party and stuff over it. The potential for mass united front worker and stuff is absolutely enormous. But we've got to go back to the thing, really. If for Labour Party activists, they see simply a tunnel vision of fighting inside the Labour Party, one is that ain't a very brilliant prospect over the next few years and stuff about it. But even in their own electoral terms, they will not win an election. They will not inspire people unless they struggle. Right, so unless the people on the housing estates, unless the people in the workplaces genuinely believe that what this is part of is a movement that is going to change something, right, stuff about it. Right, that's how you inspire working class people to vote. That's how you inspire them to get involved in it. And because there is going to be lots of ups and downs during the processes here, it is possible for the revolutionary left to play a really important role. Back in the day, the Communist Party in Britain was a small organisation comparatively. The Labour Party people had hundreds of thousands of people, a million people at one stage. The Communist Party at its height had 40,000 people in Britain, right? But it played an enormously important role ideologically, right, stuff over it. It was able to give people an underpinning of socialist ideas, Marxist ideas, right, stuff, even if they were distorted in some ways and stuff because of Stalinism and the rest of it and stuff. Also, it provided leadership inside United Front activity, right, stuff. Even though it was small, it had the ideas about united action, taking to the streets, how you build campaigns and the rest of it. We can play a very similar role in it and stuff, but we have to, it just seems to me, you have to start from, we're 100% on side. We're, these are people who are our comrades, it's an exciting movement that's happened and stuff, we're with these people, and we're going to try and make sure that the pledges that were made on £10 an hour, on defence of schools, doesn't just remain policy, real people will get involved to defend those things, we can get campaigns going and the rest of it, but we have to be talking during that whole period of time really about fundamentally how things want to shift, because lots of people joining Labour at the minute are joining, they love Corbyn, they want to see change. They want to see, not everybody's wedded to spending the next 50 years inside the Labour Party, blah, blah. They want to see fundamental social change, and that should be a really exciting thing for socialists and stuff at the minute. And the real thing is we've got to grab the chance about it and stuff. Everybody remembers what it was like a year or so ago. Labour lost the election. Oh my God, the Tories. Oh, they're invincible. Actually, at the minute, the Tories look in trouble. Actually, after that conference, Labour look a little bit more like they're together. There's some feeling of things moving forward. We've got to grab onto that. But remembering our job within that is to be part of the movement, but also to give a political discussion and debate alongside those comrades. And I think within that, we can win a whole generation of people to revolutionary politics during that process.
Thank you.